it on?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're on.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Well, today is Mike Tedesco's birthday, right, Mike? 29, going on 50. Hilda, Sister Hilda, would you go pray a birthday blessing over him? Thank you so much. Go over there and you just pray with him. Just be blessed today. We love you so much.
Hallelujah.
Okay, thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, would you pray over the word? Just put your hand on the Bible and just pray over today's word.
Living God, Holy God, Righteous God, Judge of all creation, we praise you and we thank you. We bow down our hearts and our heads before you, Lord God, and say thank you for all you have done for us and all you're about to do. Holy Spirit, keep your hand upon your word, because your word is power. Your word is life. Your word is truth. Your word sets the captive free. Hallelujah. We thank you for the energy you give us, each one of us. Help us to hear with a listening ear and to be respectful to your word. Bless the speaker and the word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that keeps your word. We love you, Jesus God.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Carolyn, this place exploded with beauty. I was looking at it and it is so beautiful. What did you do to those two trees? Spring is here, and it's beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you for that blessing, that anointing that you have. I just wanted to say that Carl Passaro is back in the hospital, and we're hoping that it won't be a long stay. Basically, the heart... is an AFib. Now he has a pacemaker, and so we're just hoping, we just lift him up to you, Father God, and we pray, God, that you would make the adjustment. Father, I know your eyes are on him because he's your son. We ask you, Lord God, that he would go through this, Lord, and that there would be a new beginning for Carl. Lord, in you, Father, deep within himself, Lord. We pray, Father, that you keep him safe, that he doesn't go through anything that he doesn't have to go through. But the doctors know exactly, Lord. Anoint them with wisdom and knowledge, Lord, for an isolated case, for Carl Passaro. Raise him up, Lord, in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I just want to be free, you know? Just want to be free in sharing the word. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be talking about how God sees our hearts. And isn't it beautiful when you get a glimpse of God's heart, the goodness of God? You know, when I open up the Bible, I've always said this, I feel like I'm opening up the Father's heart. And I'm reading the pages, I'm like reading God's heart. This is his heart. And he wants us to become so familiar with who he really is, how his heart works. He sees our hearts. These are really some drastic times we're living in. Amen? Such sin in the world. Isn't it becoming so dominant, so clear to you? And the rebellion against God, how it's growing, and there's no fear there. And we're living in the midst of turmoil. We're living in America is becoming an ungodly place more and more as time is going on. The whole world is in rebellion against the Maker. And we live and move and have our being in God and in Jesus Christ. We carry the Spirit of the living God inside of us. I will never, ever be able to say that without getting so excited that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is anointed and powerful. The Spirit of the living God living inside of us. Think about these days and who we are and the light that we carry into such a dark, gross world we're living in. We must never forget who we are in God and our mission as long as we're here, until we take our last breath or the Lord returns. We're about a work. We're about a mission. We've been called for this particular time. Called. We are called and being raised up with power. I don't think we understand or have experienced the power that God has invested inside of each one of us to raise the dead, to heal the sick. Amen? If we just believe, if we just believe, you have to see these things in our mind's eyes before we can go and walk in it. Even though this is such a terrible, terrible time, I see God's keeping power upon the church. And I'm just beginning to get a glimpse of that. It's not going to be easy for us walking in such dark times, but I see this keeping power coming alive more and more inside of us, because he will keep his hand on his church, on his people, as the days grow darker. Amen? God's keeping power. You know, I told you, and I'll repeat it in case there's anyone here that didn't hear it. Well, we went up to see my mom. We drove upstate on Monday, spent some time with mom on Tuesday, came back on Wednesday. And that poor little thing is getting smaller and frail, more frail, and you know, right now she has a little touch of pneumonia. Just to bring you up to date on my mom. And I am praying that God would take her and soon. She's so confused. 98 years old. She said to me, "Have you seen Grandma? How is she doing? Dad, I haven't seen him. Is he going out with someone else?" Take her, Lord. Take her. She loves him. All you have to do is mention his name, and it's like she wants to bow down. Take her, Lord, take her. Can we all just kind of just whisper that, you know, in agreement in Jesus' name? Take her, Lord. Take your little girl home. Jesus' wonderful name. But I brought that up because the last time we were up there, and I shared this with you, there's a woman in her room who is paralyzed from the neck down. And I was outside the room and they were moving this woman and she was in so much pain and she was screaming and they were just, you know, repositioning her on the bed. And she was saying, "You're hurting me, you're hurting me." She was screaming so loud. Afterwards, I went over to her, and I shared this with you, so just take it in again. I went over to her, and I said to her, "God loves you, and Jesus loves you." And she looked at me, and she said, "And he is Lord." Blew me away. That is God's keeping power. And with a horrible situation that she is in, I don't know how long she's been there, but that's what came out of her mouth. And that is what God promises us as we go through the hardest of times. A keeping power. The keeping power will be upon the church. He's faithful. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
He is so faithful. So we know that in the world, if you just turn whatever your device is to Romans, it's chapter 1. Let's start at verse 24. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up." For that reason, they'd rather worship other than God. "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, hater of God." Can you see this? In the world today, all around us, they are violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. My Lord. Things are becoming clearer and clearer. And the Lord's coming is becoming closer and closer. Amen. You know, the scripture in Isaiah chapter 30, and I think it's verse 18. "Blessed are all those who wait for the Lord." And we're waiting. Amen. We're waiting. You know, all of this sin is going on, but that's not what God is looking at. I'm sure he's well aware, but his eyes are not on the sins. His eyes are on, I believe, the church. Not the sin in the world, but the church. And I believe that he wants to raise up the church, raise her up, so that things are clearer to those that are walking with the abased minds. Raise her up that she can be seen And the world wants to push her down and push her away. But you know what? The world can argue and think, they think who they are. They think they're better than anybody else. But they cannot argue with the anointing. They cannot argue with the anointing. If we are walking in the anointing, they will feel it, and they will know that it is coming from higher powers. They will know. They can still discard. They can do, they will have a choice, but they cannot argue with the anointing. The anointing could break the hardest heart, the most evil. When God sends his anointing for it, it does not come back void. Amen? But it would be up to each individual whether they want to begin to receive or turn their backs away. But I believe that God is looking at the church. His eyes are on the church. And it really is time for us to be the church. It really is. You know, my husband said before, when you feel like God wants you to minister to somebody, to share about the Lord with someone, sometimes it doesn't feel so good. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't feel so good on the cross. He didn't feel so good. More specifically, God is looking at our hearts. Okay? That's the whole picture there, our hearts. The word says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And you know, inside the most vilest person, a wicked person, whatever, a sinner, we're all sinners, but you know what I mean. You know, I feel that God can look so deeply into that person's heart and see a little bit of a crack there that can be ministered to. And you know, in 1 Samuel, Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. Samuel was a prophet, and God told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse because God wanted to anoint one of the sons, Jesse's sons, to be the king of Israel, right? And so Samuel goes, and he goes to the house of Jesse, and he sees the elder son, and I think his name was Eliab. And anyway, Samuel says, this is the one. This is the one that the anointing will go before him. And God spoke to the prophet and said, no. I don't look at the appearance. I'm looking at the heart. And there were eight young men. And each one came before Samuel. And God said no to each one. And when David came before Samuel, God said, that's the one. And he was small. I think David had said he was like a little ruddy looking. He used to take care of the sheep. He was out in the field, right? Probably burnt from the sun, dark and probably smelly, whatever. That's the one. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. And so with each one of us, God is looking at our hearts. I'm so happy that I'm saved. I'm so happy that you guys know the Lord, that you walk with him, that you love him, that he is in your heart, and no one can take it away. No one can take the love of God away from you. No one can take the Holy Spirit away from you. Amen? Amen. So happy about that. So happy about that. I mean, we are the richest people in the world. We are the most blessed people in the world. And you know, I was counseling this woman many years ago. And she had a small little thing, so cute. And she was telling me, when I was young and I lived in our country, I don't remember where it was, she said, I used to take all the family's clothes and I would carry it, go through the jungle, and I would carry it down to the river, all the clothes, and I would wash everybody's clothes in the river and then bring everything back wet. And she said to me, and I was never afraid. She was a little thing, little girl. I was never afraid because she felt the presence of God wherever she went. I was never afraid. I was just strong. She's strong, strong mind, strong, you know, in her faith. And I thought about, wow, you know, taking all the family's clothes and walking through jungle and going to the river alone, a little thing, washing all those clothes and then bringing them back. And she could really be excited and thankful because she had no fear, you know? And I think about how I live. I have to do wash. Let me go get the basket. Let me open up the machine, put the clothes in there and everything and fix it up. Okay. And then I don't even have to go outside and put everything on a line. I just open up another door, put the stuff in there. Everything is heated up. The things that we have, what good lives we live, right? Amen? Lives of leisure. Yes, I know we go to work. Some of us go to work, and we have different things, maybe working in the yard in this summer, whatever. But the goodness of the Lord. I went to bed the other night, and I had put on the dishwasher. You know, I don't even have to wash dishes. Everything goes in there. And I turned it on. And at the same time, I had some blankets or something, and I put them in the dryer. So I got in bed, and I could hear the dryer humming, and I can hear the washing machine washing. And I said, my God, I'm laying in bed here, and all of this is taking place. I am so rich. I am so blessed. Are you rich? Are you blessed? God. But you know what? I feel that when I take the time to thank him for my washing machine, to thank him for my dryer, for thank him for my dishwasher. I thank him for the bed. I get into my bed. It's warm. The heat is on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you go on thanking him all day long, do you know that joy swells up inside of you? It's like he's putting joy there. He's putting joy there. Joy, 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 unspeakable and full of glory. So I think we even have to look at the little things in life. How good our Father is to us. And will continue. And will continue. And when you feel the presence of the living God as you're going through your day, there is nothing like it. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Feeling the presence of God. And if for just a couple of minutes you don't feel it, start calling him. Start calling him because you want that presence to rest on you. You want to be able to feel it. It is something we should be able to feel. Feel inside of us. And the Holy Spirit, come on, we can have a party. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God is inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. My God. His Spirit is in us. That is so outstanding and so precious. Smile, Pastor Pat. You are smiling? That's a smile? Oh, God. A message is going to come out of here somewhere. I know it is, but thank you, Lord. I tease my husband all the time. Not too much, right? Is it too much? Oh, okay. Now, when God said, David, that's my man, because he didn't look at the outward appearance, but he looked at the heart, what did he see in David's heart? He saw a man after his own heart. That's what he saw. This is the one. He's after my own heart. Whew. So we can have a dishwasher, and we can have all those things of luxury, beautiful homes, warm homes. But you know something? You want God's heart. People after his own heart. And to please that heart, to understand that heart, the heart of God. A man after God's own heart. Do you know that that statement is twice when God speaks of David? A man after my own heart. He said it twice. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And I want to just kind of compare hearts. I want to compare David and Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. Amen. David thought he was going to build the temple for the Lord, but he did not. He wasn't the one to build the temple. And the word says in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 7, David was a man of war. Solomon would be a man of rest. That is a king whose reign would be free from constant warfare. So Solomon was a man of rest. And that's what the king should have been. Kings don't go out. They didn't go out and fight wars. But David was a man of war. And so God wanted Solomon to be the king and to live in the temple, to build the temple. But what I want to do is I want to show us the difference between David's heart and Solomon's heart. David had a repentative heart. He was very, he felt God's heart. Conviction, thank you. And David wanted to please God. And the difference was that David repented. And when he hurt God's heart, David's heart hurt. Solomon was not a man that repented. Solomon had 600 wives. How do you think he did it? 300 concubines, and his wives worshipped false gods. And David built altars for his wives' gods. And he never tore down those. As far as you could look it up in the Word of God, it does not state that he tore down those altars. Imagine that. I mean, chosen to be king, chosen to build a holy temple for God's presence. And how far away he got from the Lord's desires, from the Lord's heart. God asked Solomon in a dream, and you can look that up, what he wanted. He asked Solomon in a dream what he wanted. And Solomon chose an understanding heart. He chose wisdom so he could make good decisions for his people. That's how he answered God in a dream. But truly, this sensitive person, sensitive to God, knows God's guidelines when making choices, right? So he wanted an understanding heart and wisdom so he could make good choices, good decisions for his people. But not good decisions for God. We have to be so sensitive to God in these days and to the Spirit of the living God in these days. And we have to ask God for an understanding of the times. How to witness to the old. How to witness to the young. Let's just take a moment and pray. Father, we ask you, Father, for your wisdom for this hour and the hour to come. We ask you, Lord, that we could see into situations. Father, that you would even allow us to see into hearts. That, Father, we would know how to minister. That we would know how to bring forth the truth that sets them free. Give us wisdom. Give us such understanding, Lord. And let this become the most important thing in our lives. Father, we thank you that you've brought us to this place at this time. We're alive on the earth, God. We thank you, Lord God. You have ministered to us time after time after time after time. You've given us the Bible. You've given us your word to look into your heart. So that our hearts would be changed. Father, we all want a heart that goes after you more and more. That the things on your heart becomes more important to us than the things on our hearts. And we think about it again. In these times, we are called the temple of the living God because the Spirit of the living God dwells inside of us. What are you doing with that? What are we doing with that? We're a temple of the Holy Spirit built for worship, designed for worship. We are living stones. Amen? We need each other. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are, what does that mean? We're being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You know what? If we're a building block, then I can't build anything without you. You can't erect anything for God without me because it's stone upon stone. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So the love for each other, the respect for each other, the care for each other, being able to see the gifts in each other, make way for them, the respect for each other. We are the family of God. A holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. What is that? Spiritual sacrifices. What could that be? What are we offering up to God? What, Barbara? Amen. 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 And what is worship, as Barbara clearly knows, I know, your life, right? Right? We worship Him in song. That's beautiful. We touch and bless the heart of God. But it's laying down your life for Him and His purposes. Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 16 says, "You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you." What a gift. God knows how to give good gifts to His children, His own special people. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We are the temple, the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. Somebody elaborate on that for me, from your heart. What does that look like to you? You have the Holy Spirit inside of your temple. The Holy Spirit, the anointed one, full of power. What does that mean to you? Rich, I'm going to ask you. Praise God. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Anybody want to add to that? Thank you. Brother Rich, we have two Riches speaking here. Yes. Okay. So the Spirit of the living God dwelling in a temple. Anybody else want to add to that?
Yes. He felt that if he didn't hear from God, there was sin in his life, and he had to repent. So in order to hear from God, we have to have a pure heart. We have to know His heart. And when someone like, I mean, he was known to raise the dead, right? So if he repented when he didn't hear from God, what did you say? For like a minute or two.
Yeah.
He would repent.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Smith Wigglesworth spoke to the Holy Spirit moment by moment. He probably spoke to Him in his sleep moment by moment. And if he forgot to keep that conversation going, that connection with the Holy Spirit, even for a minute, he would stop and ask God to forgive him. That's extreme. That's extreme. Do you think God is calling us to be extreme? What do you think, Doreen? Amen. Is He calling us to be extreme?
Well, why not?
Why not?
Yes.
Okay.
I just think people are comfortable with it. They're comfortable with the way it looks or feels or appears. And when they see it in other people, like the Smith Wigglesworth, sometimes people don't know how to react or respond to that. But we're supposed to receive persecution when we follow the Lord. So it would make sense that we would.
Yes, peculiar. I don't know if you could hear her. She spoke so softly. Did you get that? Okay.
What did? I was talking loud.
That's okay. What did you say?
I said, as things are coming along, we need to
He needs for us, as things are coming along, he needs for us to be that way. And persecution is coming. Amen. 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 You know, it's really exciting to be alive today, though. It in the midst of all of this, it is. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if we seem peculiar. I mean, I guess if we want to talk about Smith Wigglesworth, he was the most peculiar person that I can think of. I mean, he was peculiar. He was wonderful. And he raised the dead, and he laid hands on people, and he had a woman on the altar who had a cancerous tumor in her abdomen, and God said, go up and punch her in the stomach. Everybody was laying hands and praying, go up and punch her in the stomach. And he did. And nothing happened. So he did again. And the tumor fell down on the altar, came right out of her, and she was completely healed. So peculiar. What, Barbara? I know.
Yeah, people see us, they should say, there's something different there. There's, she's, you know, they may even say you're a little off the
they'll laugh.
The
they'll laugh at us.
You know.
Yeah. They'll laugh at us. But if their little child is really sick and it's serious, who are they going to call?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Oh, God. All right. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you pray to God, do you feel him? Do you feel his presence? Yes? Yes. Yes? Not always. Amen. Not always. You kind of feel a disconnect once in a while? Yes. And you pray sometimes and you feel him, you know, you can just sense him hearing that prayer, and sometimes there's a little disconnect there, right? And so we go after the presence because, you know, if God is calling us to do something that is so unnatural, that is so opposite of what the way we are or whatever, and we're moving within ourselves, it's really difficult. But when you're moving in God, the presence is there. He's just about breathing on you. You could just about feel his breath on you. You go with such power, such anointing in faith. Amen? So we have to have more of the presence, and we ask God for more of the presence, more and more and more of the presence. I'm not a good sleeper. I'm up a lot during the night, and what I've been doing lately is getting up in the middle of the night, and the doctor told me to walk, you know, kind of fast pace, about 20 minutes, three times a week. So I do that. And as I, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and everything is quiet, you know, and I'm walking from one end of the back of the house to the front, to the back, to the front. But I've got my arms up. I am with God. I said, God, if I can't sleep, I want to sleep. I need sleep. But if I can't sleep, then I'm going to turn that around and spend time with you and make it something positive. Make it something positive. So when I'm alone, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, his presence is so strong. It's like me and you, God, right? And I'm walking and I'm feeling him and I'm getting such all different direction for prayer. You know what I'm saying? It's just so, let's use our time and our energy for God. Turn things around. Give him back to him. Say, what do you want me to do with this? Ask for wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To so respect God in such an awesome way. Yes, we fear God because he is a supernatural power. But perfect love casts out all fear. And I love that. God, perfect my love for you. Give me more and perfect my love for you. Well, I, you know, you would look at me, Lord, and see my heart, that I love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. Reach for the stars. Come on. Love and conviction. I feel that, you know, God is conviction, that God is to be honored above all. But I think that love and conviction is such a good mixture. And they are the doors that open up true wisdom. Is that too deep? Love God and conviction. Fiery conviction. You can't go wrong. We're only human. No. No. Take that out of there. We're more than human. Oh, after all, I'm only human. No, you're not. Out there, they're only human, but you're not. You're supernatural. You're supernatural. Reach for the stars. We are to remember when hard times come, and they are coming. They are mounting up. The world hates us. Do you see it more and more clearly? Hates us. Remember, through all the times, hard times, God loves us. I mean, God loves us. God is love. So of course, so it's easy for him to love. That's what he is. No, he loves us with an everlasting, deepest, holy love that we cannot even imagine. Remember that and live in that place. It's going to be all right. You think maybe God's not hearing my prayers because things are getting worse. No, 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 no. God hears you. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's see what God is going to do. We want to get out of things because they're painful. They're, I don't want this. I don't want to carry this. I don't want to, you know, when it comes to my kids, you know, I just want everything to be nice and good. And Lord, they're my kids. But no. God's saying, I have it. My hand is there and my eyes are on your children and my ear is open to your prayers and my heart is beating with your heart. But get out of the way. You see, because we've got to pray with faith. And if we're going to worry, my child this, my child, I just want to see things get better. And he's hurting and he's confused and this happened and now, oh, that happened. And no, get out of the way and say, God, I know that your hand is on my son. I gave him to you or my daughter a long time ago. I'm their mother, but they don't belong to me, if you know what I mean. And you're doing something, and all I could see is the hurts, because I don't want my kids to hurt. I don't want my grandchildren to hurt. That's called mother and father. But there is a father that has a mother's heart greater than ours, and even loves our loved ones more than we do. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. And I can think of sometimes that, you know, my son had a nervous breakdown and he lost some of his sight and this and that and the other thing. Look at him now. Look at him now. Wow. He's got gifts in God. He's moving in those gifts. It took a while, but God kept his eyes on that child. And God raised him up to be a man of God. Amen. Stay out of the way. Get out of the way. God has a way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. So, and we're being disciplined because the Father loves us. Each and every one of us, I believe, are being disciplined. And I know I need it. It may, you know, and his discipline sometimes is a scourging, and that's okay. Lord, I need it, Lord God, because I don't want to remain the same. I want to grow, and I want to have more of the Spirit, you know. And discipline, the word for discipline in the Old Testament is yezah, and it's to chastise. It involves correction. It's a positive contribution to a person's training in righteousness. And Carolyn, I don't know, you're just coming to me in my heart and in my mind. you know, that God is doing such wonderful things in you right now. And you're going to see, I believe, in, I don't know if it's several months or maybe a year's time, you're not going to be the same person. God loves you so much, and his eyes are on you. And he's drawing you closer, and he's drawing you, and he's doing things that are so deep inside of you. And positive correction, I'm not saying he's going to correct you, I'm just putting this out there for all of us, for me, involves that chastisement, that yezah, is correction. It's a positive contribution to a person's training in righteousness. In righteousness. Oh, God has good gifts for his children. Woo! You know, Solomon fell into idolatry. Can you imagine a man selected by God to build a temple and he falls into idolatry? We can never say, not me, Lord, not me. No, we pray, Lord, not me. Amen. And his decline, Solomon's decline, was very slow, very slow, and broke his connection with the Father. It broke the connection with the Father. So, I mean, I think 600 wives would do it, huh? All right. Many attacks are coming. You ready for the next attack? Are you ready? Put on the whole armor of God. Come on, Ron would be here talking about that. The whole armor of God, starting with your mind and your whole body. Many attacks are coming. The enemy is on the warpath. Now, we think the enemy, we think that we're his target. We're not. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. God is his target. And he wants to get you to get through you to God. To hurt God. If he can pull somebody out of the line, out of God's army, if he can pull somebody, if they go back before salvation, that's to hurt God. And he will connive, and he will plan, and the enemy will watch your weaknesses. He will watch the things that will depress you or oppress you, and he will do that. And then he'll go to God and say, like Job, see your little servant over here? And he's questioning you? So we have to understand, this is reality. This is not, you know, some book that people got together and wrote. This is reality. So we have to be sharp. Sharp. That's something that I pray for, God. I want to be sharp. Make me sharp. In Psalms, it speaks about it, and also in Isaiah, that he would make us a sharp tool. And that's what I want to be. I want to be awake. I want to be not just living, but alive in Christ. And I want to be aware, and I want to know what God is doing, and I want to know what God is doing, what the enemy is trying to do to me, and what the enemy is trying to do to the church, and what the enemy is trying to do to my loved ones. You understand? And we have to pray for boldness. We're not bold enough, people. We ask you, Father, right now, that, Lord God, we wouldn't shrivel up. God, we wouldn't bow down to the enemy, Lord, but we would become bold as a lion. But let us be driven by love. Bold as a lion. Driven by love, God, for the unsaved, especially, Lord. In Jesus' name, give us a sweet, holy, strong, powerful boldness. And it doesn't matter if we see the things that we say and do materialize before our eyes, because it will be placed in your hands. As long as we're doing what you're calling us to do, we will place the rest in your hands. As we pray, let's turn to Psalm 6. You've read these scriptures about David. You see, that was the difference between David and Solomon, because David repented. Oh, David, he fell out of line. Oh, David, he killed man. Killed man. How could he live with that? It was eating him up. It was hurting him so bad. David was a man of true repentance. And God heard that cry. And in Psalm 6, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Chasten me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. He was in such a place that his bones hurt. He probably couldn't eat. Maybe not even drink. He was troubled, greatly troubled in his soul. He was weary and groaning. He was sweating and drenching with tears in his bed. And depart from me, you evildoers, when I'm in such a weak place. You're coming in, trying to close in on me. Get away from me, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. And David would repent. God, above all, God, I'm so empty. But Lord, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. God, I ask you, even though I don't deserve him, don't take him from me. I have offended him. I have hurt him. But don't take him from me. Because people, we are nothing without the Holy Spirit. He had haunting sin, bodily pain, mental torment, literal enemies closing in all around him. David suffered and regretted all of his past transgressions. He repented. He turned. The devil wants to make us doubt God's goodness. Oh, he'll work on your minds, people. Make us doubt God's plan. Make us doubt God's timing. Make us doubt God's word, if he could. Oh, he'll work on it. He's after the church. But trouble that we go through, when God chastises us, it's a good thing. He said, if you want to be a good father to natural men, you must. What? Chastise your children. And you know, when David was being chastised by the Lord, he always got closer to God through it, after it. God was always David's ultimate choice, because he loved God with a supreme love. He loved the Lord, his God. You know, it's time that we give all of ourselves to the Lord. All of it. Who we are. Every fiber of our being. Every dream that's been broken. Everything to God. Give yourself at this time completely. You belong to him. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Go after God these days like never before. Live for him and his purposes. We started a little late, and I'm running a little late, a little bit more. I wrote down six things that I believe is to keep us pure, our integrity. Serve him, keep the word in your hearts and his instructions, follow him, seek him, praise him, thank him, love him more and more. The more you know him, the more you will love him. And ask him for more love for him. Ask him for more love for him. Let that be, you know, heard. Let that come across him, that voice coming across him. Give me, you are love, God. Give me more love for you. I want to love you more. The Lion of Judah is coming. Jesus is coming. And he's coming for you. Seek him to know his beauty, his splendor. With honor, with fear, revere him. This is a new time, people. I really believe that something new is happening in the church and just around us too. And what is God looking at? Tell me. Yes, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you want me to read that again? Of course you do. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And that word perfect is trust also, it means. We're not perfect people, right? But that heart that's going after him, that heart that is kept on fire, like you don't have enough of him. You don't know him enough. You want more of him. That's the heart that's on fire. And it looks perfect, I'm sure, towards him. A heart that trusts him, a heart that is faithfully obeys him, whose heart completely belongs to him. We have to continue to love God more and more. And we've got to grow. And how? How? Jeremiah 20, verse 9. His word is in my heart. And I just wrote down some things that I feel are very important for all of us, for myself, and to help us go after the favor of the Lord. Do you want the favor of God? Do you want to be favored by God, your Father? I just wrote down some things. Would you stand with me? The first thing I want to mention is people forgive. 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 Not only forgive people that have hurt you, but forgive people that have even hurt your children, your loved ones. Forgive. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. We can't do these things without the power of the supreme Holy Spirit of the living God. Forgive. Repent. When you do something, be so sensitive. Repent. Repent with all your heart. We've got to get closer to God. Live for God. Walk in repentance. Seek his face. Spend time with him. Push. You have to lean into him. Push. Call him down. Call his name. Press with your heart. Press into him. seek his face, get his attention, have an increased love for one another. God, give us an increased love for one another. Have a purpose-filled heart. With the purposes that Jesus had in his heart when he walked on the earth. The mind of Christ. Cut off from the past. Cut off anything that will hold you back. Let regrets go. Don't look back. It's dark back there. The light is before you. Let hurts go. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Sometimes I was so hurt as a child. I was so hurt as a child. And sometimes a memory will come back to me. Oh, no. Oh, no. Get lost, Saint. Get up early in the morning and spend time with him before you start your day. Before you go to bed at night, close the day off by being with him. The word, he will speak to you. He will enlarge your heart through the word. He will touch your senses with his holiness through the word. Get up early, go to bed, stay with him, but not religiously, people. Don't do any of these things religiously. But affectionately, deeply, tenderly, in delight, passionately, cherish your time together, protect it, capturing the elements of your loving God with intense adoration. God, we just come before you, God. There's something new about this hour, Father. I just sense it. I feel it. Father, it's time for us to shake off the old and put on the new. New mindset, a new heart, new garments. Garments of praise, thanksgiving. I know when I thank you for even the little things, I get so excited inside. I really do. Joy bubbles over. And I believe you're hearing my thankfulness and you're touching my mortal body. Thank you, Father. And Father, we ask, Father, that you would give us more love for you. That can only come from you. You are our greatest source. More love for people. Love for our enemies. Love for the world. You so loved the world that you gave your son. It's a dark place, Lord. We don't like what they're doing. We don't like what they're doing to our children. But we ask for a love that when we pray for the worst of them, even tears would come to us, Lord. Because hell is eternal. Father, wake us up. Stir us up. Cause us to look up at you more and more. To stay alive and awake. Revere you, receive your love, and love you more in this hour, and help us to be more obedient in this hour than ever before. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's for you. That's for you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
just to dwell in this world.